The Word of God is powerful. It's powerful. The Word of God created the whole universe. In one word, light be. Until today, our universe is still expanding faster than 186,000 miles per second. From the moment that your Heavenly Father called forth that light and He said, light be. And until today, from that moment He said, light be. You know where that big bang come from? It's from His mouth when He said, light be. Bang, right there. It's from a single point. You know, okay, and it expands in such a rate that the scientists are still baffled that it's still accelerating 186,000 miles per second. And that is the power of the Word of God. Do you believe in the power of the Word of God? The Word of God has the power of life and healing. So when you hear the Word of Jesus, I mean, you are being infused with the life of Jesus and the grace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. That power, that light is what will cause your, you know, all the lying symptoms in your body to be no more. You know, because when the light shines, darkness has to flee. You know, anything that is knocking on your door, like a lying symptom, that migraine, that pain, whatever it is that you can name, there are darkness, there are sicknesses, diseases, they're not of God. And God never sent sicknesses, diseases to teach us a lesson. Amen? We don't do that to our children, do we? Right. Give them sickness and diseases and then we say, you know, you learn your lesson. We don't do that, right? God is a loving Father. He will never give us anything that's bad, like sickness, accidents, and all those things to teach us a lesson. But God is such a good God that He says, you know, I am the light. You have the power to speak My Word. Whenever you have challenges in your body, whenever you have things that bother, you can say, let there be light. All right? Or if you don't know how to say, let there be light, just say hallelujah. You know, hallelujah means Jesus shine. That's what it means in the Hebrew. So when you just say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, all right? Before long, whatever things that are bothering you, that lying symptoms, whatever it is, they will have to flee. They will have to go in the light of Jesus' glory. Amen? Hallelujah. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are blessed beyond measure. We are blessed beyond measure. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and grace in our lives. Well, there's nothing that is as comprehensive as the Word of God. Okay? The doctors can only look at certain conditions. And they may recommend certain treatments based on the evidence that they see. Okay, so you have this problem. Okay, here are the four possibilities of what could possibly be wrong. And then they'll give you maybe some recommendations, exercise more, or cut back on that that sugar, right? Cut back on a food that has too much salt in it and everything. And pretty much, I kind of already know, you know, some of the things that would be recommended to me if I were to go to a doctor. Now, first of all, I want to let you know I'm not against doctors. You got to love people to be a doctor. I mean, it's just amazing, you know. They have their own problems at home, and now they have to take care of people with so much problems. So I admire doctors. I mean, if I'm not afraid of blood, I could have majored in some kind of biology and become a doctor myself. The only problem with me, I don't like blood, okay? So it doesn't go really well, you know, someone who don't like blood, you know, dealing with patients that may have some of those problems, right? So I decided, no, I'm not going to be a doctor. Amen. But I believe they're wonderful people. But here's what I'm trying to tell you is that the Word of God is so powerful that it goes beyond what the medical professionals can see. There are many conditions in our physical body that has its root in the spiritual area. So imagine, okay, if you are trained in the area of treating people for their physical health, right? If the spiritual root condition is not being dealt with, it's just a matter of time before that problem is going to flare up again. And I'm not even talking about psychology. Well, yeah, that's right, Pastor. We need more psychological advice, right? Same thing also with psychology. Many times, you know, they say, well, think positive. Try to think, you know, wonderful thoughts. You know, think good things, which is all good things, right? Just learn to express yourself. You know, just express yourself. You know, don't bottle it up. Just tell the truth to your spouse. You know, tell him as is. You know, don't hold back. You know, it may work in some situation, right? In some situation, it makes the problem worse. You know, I was taught the key to a happy marriage is to have a better communication. That's all I know, you know, back then. Okay, all right, so how can I have a better communication? Because this is, hey, some of those psychologists, they're even Christian psychologists, so I respect them, I heard, and there's some nuggets of truth that if you don't communicate well with your spouse, right, how can you get along with each other? So it is part of the whole equation. You know, you want to have a better communication. Express yourself. Talk to your husband. Talk to your wife. Frankly, open. What's bothering? What things that's not working for you? What things that you want them to change and things like that. But how many of you know that, you know, without the Holy Spirit, many of these good advice, you know, it just does not work as well as we expect it to work. Because apart from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, there is no life. Man, I'm making a very radical statement, right? I say you can have the best medical care, the best psychological, you know, counselors, but apart from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, there is no life. Because God is the source of life. He's the source of your health. Your health and your healing does not depend on your diets. It does not depend on your working out. I say, Lord, help me. If I'm going to be healthy by running like a hamster, I don't want that. I say, Lord, I want a health that you maintain for me. I don't have to maintain it. You know, almost every single thing that you find in the healthy living section, if you go to a bookstore somewhere, they always have these two pillars. They will always end up saying this: watch out what you eat and exercise more. After you exercise more, watch out what you eat. All right? So it's just always, you know, those are like the two pillars, almost everything. And there's nuggets of truth in that. I can even give you the Bible verse. The Bible says, bodily exercise profits for a little while. Now, the Bible does not say don't exercise, because it says it has profit. But the profit is for a little while. That means you have to keep on maintaining it, right? And I want you to have a good habit. Yes, if you enjoy running, keep on doing what you love, doing what you enjoy. But don't think that's the source of your life. Don't think that is the source of where your health and healing is coming from. It is from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit that we can have life and life more abundantly. So I just want to encourage you, beloved of God, that the Lord loves you with all His heart and with all His mind and with all His strength. And I believe today the good news that God has for you is going to cause your bone to no longer be dry. Amen? If bad news can cause my bone to be dry, to have arthritis and all this pain, right? Then the opposite has got to be true. The more I hear the good news, my bones will be healthy, right? Did you know that a lot of conditions in the body can be traced by the blood, right? That's why they do blood tests every time you go to do a checkup. They take your blood and then they do the analysis and they do well, there's too much fat on this one or there's not enough white blood cells or whatever, right? So they always check the blood, right? But did you know that your blood is generated in your bone marrow area? That's where your blood was actually generated. And that's why the Bible goes straight to the root, right? It says good news is health and healing for all your flesh. That means it touches, even penetrate deep to your bone marrow to produce a healthy, healthy blood in your body. Amen? And there is no good news apart from Jesus Christ and what He has done. So, beloved of God, I just want to encourage you. The Lord is the one who fashioned you. The Bible says, while you are still in your mother's womb, He carefully, shape you and form you. You are intricately and wonderfully made. And that's how tender, loving Jesus is. And He loves you. He watches over you. And the Lord has done everything that is necessary for you to be able to enjoy life and life more abundantly today. Amen. Jesus came, and we know that God the Father so loved us that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. And part of enjoying life is to recognize that God wants you to have this this blessing that religion can never give you, right? No amount of good works can ever give you, and that is the righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. It's been tried thousands of times by people. They try to live in the mountains. They try to cut themselves from society. They think that will make them holy, that will make them acceptable before God. I've heard one famous movie star donated $700 million, donating his wealth. Now, I don't know if he's a believer or not, right? But if he thinks that he can buy salvation for $700 million, he'll be sadly mistaken. There's no amount of charity, there's no amount of good works that can satisfy the perfect requirement of the law of God. The law of God is encapsulated in the law of Moses. God gave Moses the law. That means a Mosaic law is the standard by which God measures perfection in His sight. And here's the deal. Everyone who does everything written in the book of the law shall live. Now, if we think that we can keep every single thing that is written in the book of the law, we are deceiving ourselves. It is impossible for anyone to be able to fulfill every dot and iota of the Mosaic law. The Bible did not say the Ten Commandments. It says written in the book. And there are more than 600 mitzvahs. Not just 10. All we think about is the Ten Commandments. No, there's more than 600 commandments. And get this, you break one point, you become guilty of them all. And you have to keep it all the time, right? Now, sometimes we like to judge people based on the level of sin that they're in. Well, while you're in that lifestyle, right? Maybe we don't say it out loud, but the way we see people, we still have that Pharisaic mindset that I'm a better person than this person because I'm not like that person. I don't drink or cuss or chew or go with those who do, or anything like that, right? Well, we don't say that, right? But we have this mindset that I'm better than you because, you know, I don't have this problem. I don't have this habit. But in the eyes of God, all right, just that one sin, just one sin is enough to break the whole point. Now, we might not be so-called living in an overt sin. Well, I don't do drugs, Pastor. I don't do drugs. I don't live a certain lifestyle that is really, really bad and things like that. But I worried all the time. I'm afraid all the time. Did you know that the first group of people that the Bible says in the book of Revelation that goes to hell is the fearful before the whoremongers? Now listen, I'm not trying to condemn anyone, but I'm just telling you, we categorize sins. We say this sexual sins, this drug sins is so bad. Well, what about fear? The first group of people that goes to the lake of fire is the fearful people. And that has the root of worries and everything, right? So if we are to be judged by God based on the standards of law, how many times He said, do not fear? That's the commandment. Every time we break that, every time we are afraid, every time we are worried, every time we are We're not trusting in the Lord. That is already a sin. And by the standard of keeping the Mosaic law perfectly to obtain life, no one can be justified before God. No flesh can be justified before God on the basis of law is evident, the Bible says. That's in Galatians chapter 3. And so, beloved of God, what makes the good news, which we'll be talking about today, the good news? Amen? And I want to give you in a very, very simple way that ties into the message of Christmas, that I hope when you think about Christmas, you don't just think about the three magis, or you just think about the angels singing, as wonderful as all those things are, right? What makes the good news, the gospel good news, is exactly like I just told you before, something that money and religion can never buy us, and that is to be declared righteous in the sight of God, independent of us observing the law. That is what makes the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope, you know, by the end of this message, we all will come to the conclusion like what Apostle Paul came to the conclusion. He said that God sent His only begotten Son to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. This is Apostle Paul. Do you know why he can declare himself as the chief of sinners? Because you have to understand the background of Apostle Paul. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, the Bible says. So this is the man who appreciates the law down to the needy, greediest detail. He probably count the number of steps on Saturdays, how many steps that he took, right? Because if you take one too many steps, you violate the law of rest, you are guilty of them all. This is a person who understands, right, the standards of the law to its perfection. And he says, I am the chief of all sinners, because I know apart from Jesus Christ, I'm done. There is no way that I can have a righteous standing before God. Amen, beloved of God. So I want you to hear the good news today that the Holy Spirit will share to give you the blessings again that will just comfort your heart and strengthens you to let you know that, beloved of God, even though you might be the chief of sinners like Apostle Paul, right? But God sees you as His beloved righteous. Again, that red color, right? Those who wear red on Christmas, I hope you always remember, right? It is that blood of Jesus that cleanses us and makes us clean. Amen, beloved of God. So we are blessed beyond measure. So that was kind of like the opening, amen, of the main entree that we're going to talk about. So let's go on to the first slide here. It happens to be the same passage that Miriam chose for the Christmas celebration. It's from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. But this one is from the NIV Bible, from the New International Version Bible. And it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Now, these are all classic Christmas stories, right? You hear the angel of the Lord shows up, and then you got the shepherds out in the field. They have wonderful, beautiful play many times of the shepherds and all those things. But I hope you're not missing the good news. I'm about to get to the good news. And then he says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy." Let me say it again. Good news that will cause great joy. That is the Christmas message. It's the good news that will cause great joy. You know, a great joy means, compared to whatever challenges that you might be dealing with, it's nothing. Okay? It's like, man, I owe $1,500 in my credit card. I don't know how to pay it. And then the good news that will cause great joy, hey, you have this, some unknown relatives just have this inheritance, and you are actually part of the beneficiaries of this inheritance, and you are going to be expecting $100,000 in your mailbox. Man, that is a good news that will cause great joy, right? That $1,500 debt is nothing compared to the great news, right? That you've just inherited something. I'm just giving the illustration of what, in a small way, all right, of what this good news that will cause great joy, right? And then so I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people, all right? For all the people, amen? And it says, today in the town of David, a Savior. Say Savior.
Savior.
Okay, you just call on the name of Jesus, because that is the name of Jesus means. So when you say Jesus, you're saying Savior, right? So God did not give us a lawgiver like Moses. God did not give us a dictator to rule over people. What makes this such a good news that will cause great joy is that a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. This is part of the mystery of godliness here. God manifests in the flesh, the Bible says. Wow, amazing God. So, what is the good news that will cause great joy according to the scripture? We have a Savior. That means we need saving, don't we? The reason that we need Savior, hey, do you have any area in your life that you need a saving for? Lord, I need deliverance in my current situation, right? Lord, I need salvation. When I say salvation, don't just think of heaven, okay? Don't just think of heaven, well, yeah, you know, Jesus came to help us go to heaven. That's wonderful. But what about here? What about here on earth? Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that your will be done, right? On earth as it is in heaven. So it is right here that we need Jesus. We need a Savior. Amen? Hallelujah. So think about whatever areas in your life right now that might have been like a thorn on the side, right? Or a pain in the neck. Whatever that problem is, God says, I have good news that will cause you great joy because a Savior has been born. Amen? And Savior, that means there's a saving area in your life, whatever areas that you are needing saving for, that God wants to save you today. Amen? So that's just between you and the Holy Spirit, because it's the good news that will cause great joy. Amen? That means you're not going to be stuck in that situation forever, because you have a Savior. All right? Hallelujah. Everybody encouraged with this? So the Christmas message is the message of the birth of a Savior, which is the good news that caused great joy for all people. Amen? Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Some of you may not have any physical challenges or whatever challenges, but perhaps you know a loved one, maybe a brother, a sister, a mother, a father. Hey, the good news is for all people. Amen? It's not just for me, right? It's for you and for whoever that is needing saving. God says, you know, I have great news. I have good news that will cause great joy. Amen? Hallelujah. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Now, beloved of God, when we talk about great news, we want to allow Jesus to tell us why it is such a good news, right? Everybody familiar with John 3:16? Everybody knows John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. In fact, you know, Miriam just sang that song, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes on Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But have you heard of John 3:17? It's just one more verse after that. This is Jesus' own words. And let me tell you why it is such a good news, John 3:17. Let's look at John 3:17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Amen? So if we want to ask Jesus or God the Father, why is it such a good news that will cause great joy? For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Amen? Wow, isn't that beautiful? God, it says, did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Amen? You know, the world does not need condemnation. They've got plenty of them already, right? You understand what I'm saying? What the world needs is the good news to tell them that God does not condemn you. God is here to save you, right? Amen, beloved of God? So I hope I'm equipping you with the good news message for your neighbor, for your friend, maybe who's not a believer. You know, you don't have to tell them, bad boy, bad girl. They know it, right? The message of Christmas is not to condemn the world, the Bible says, right? It's to let them know, here's the good news. Jesus is here to save you. Amen? We're not here to tell the world how bad they are. We're not here to tell, you know, our neighbor how wrong they are, how sinful they are. Because that's not good news. The good news is God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Amen, beloved of God? So I just want to let you know, beloved of God, if God did not condemn the world, how much more that God does not condemn you, His beloved sons and daughters of the Most High God, whenever you have moments of weaknesses or you are walking after the flesh. Amen? The one that's harsh against you is not God. We picture God is the one who is angry at me every time I sin, every time I fail. But really, the one that is being harsh against yourself is not God, because God does not condemn the world. Neither does He condemn you. God already says, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. What you need to watch out for is your own conscience that can be very harsh against yourself every time you know that you are not meeting a certain requirements and standards that you deem to fall short. Okay? I'm kind of preaching to myself. I tend to be a perfectionist. That's my problem. I'm thankful for lots of grace for my daughter to live with me for such a long time, because, you know, every tiny speck of things, it just bothers me to the point where sometimes, you know, I probably drive people crazy. You know, you gotta, man, I don't like this, you know. Everything has to be placed in a certain order and things like that, right? I hate what I'm doing. Why am I so perfectionist? Why everything has to be in proper order? Why can't it be messy, you know? Why can't it just be messy and just be happy, right, Pastor Kent? Don't worry, be happy, right? Don't worry, be messy. How about that, right? It's okay. No, I hate it. I hate it, but I just don't know how to deal with it many times, right? And guess who is the one who condemns me every time I have that perfectionist tendencies? My own conscience is harsher than, I mean, God is love, the Bible says. He does not condemn me. He knows my weaknesses and things like that, right? And so perhaps you are your worst enemy. Perhaps you are the one, all right, who has been dealing with that issue of pushing yourself to the limit where you feel like I'm not well-pleasing to God, when all along it is not that God is not well-pleasing to you, because the Bible says He did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Again, I want you to reason with me. Right? If God does not condemn the world, how much more that He does not condemn you who have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ every time, you know, that fleshly tendencies, you fill in the blank, whatever that fleshly tendencies flare up. For me, it was the perfectionist things that just, oh man, just drove me crazy and drove people around me crazy, right? But I have learned to know every time that I had that moments of failure, that I remember that my father does not condemn me. Nobody in this world has a perfect biological father. I don't care if your biological father won the Father of the Year awards or whatever. Everyone does not have a perfect biological father. And many times we portray the image of our Heavenly Father to be the same as our biological imperfect father. You understand what I'm saying? And so what I'm trying to get at to let you know is to let you know how good and how compassionate and how your Heavenly Father does not condemn you, especially when you're down. Sometimes people go back to their old habits. I know some people who have a bad habit of smoking, for example. And usually they will go back to that same old bad habits whenever they're hurting. They're trying to find some sort of comfort. Okay, so some of you may not have problems with smoking, but there are other bad habits that you know, you fill in the blanks, that you go back to that bad habits. Many times, it's not because of rebellion. You're not doing that bad habits because you hate God or you're trying to be in His face. It's because there is a pain. There is a discouragement and a disappointment. And I want to let you know that your loving Heavenly Father understands you better than anyone. I'm not giving a mushy-mushy message to, well, you know, God is love. I'm just speaking the truth in love. Your biological father may not be that compassionate every time you slack off, but your loving Heavenly Father will never kick you when you're down. He will never, ever do that. And He has a righteous foundation to do that because Jesus was already kicked. He fell 3 times when He carried the cross. I'm sure those Roman soldiers must have kicked Him. And that's why today, when you're down, God will never kick you because Jesus was already kicked for you on your behalf. Now, will that cause you to want to continue to live in sin, knowing that He loves you so much? Does that cause you, well, let us sin some more, so that, you know, grace might abound some more? That's why, you know, preaching the message of grace is not easy, right? Because preaching the message of grace, it takes the Holy Spirit to do the very, very intricate surgical revelation in your heart to let you know that, you know, the truth of the gospel, once you know how much your Father loves you, in spite of our sins and failures, it will cause you to live for Jesus above and beyond that people call you a fanatic. Alright? You all have experienced that. Right? That's why you love the messages of grace. You know what I'm talking about, right? And today, I'm just reinforcing that even further with Scripture, that the message of the gospel is not the message of compromise. Well, Pastor, you're telling if God does not condemn us whenever we are going back to our old bad habits, then they're going to keep on doing that sin. On the contrary, the more you know that there is now no condemnation, because that's the good news. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. You have the power to go and sin no more. It is the power that enables you to not wallow in the dirt. Okay, in Marvel Comics terms, you become invincible. Alright? You become someone, alright, that in biblical language, the devil cannot devour you. You know, the Bible says that the devil is like a lion prowling who he may devour. Now, that's already a clue that he cannot devour just anyone. He's looking for those that is devourable. Those that are not enlightened with the gospel truth that God is not mad with you. God is mad about you. It's the good news to let you know, when you are down,
Pastor, you don't know what I was thinking last week. I thought some of the craziest thoughts that I've ever thought about. And I feel so ashamed. I've been a Christian for such a long time, Pastor. Oh, I feel God is not well pleased with me. I have good news to tell you, beloved of God. The devil wants you to wallow in the dirt so that he can devour you. But I have good news to tell you. In the middle of that wrong thoughts, God still loves you. God still says that, you know, the blood of Jesus still cleanses you. You're not devourable. Amen. So I hope your heart is encouraged and persuaded that this gift of righteousness that I'm talking about, apart from the law, is something that will, okay, be a blessing in your life, in your family, right? Even in your health, right? The first thing that you want to be conscious is not even about healing. I hope Christians understand what Pastor Henry is saying. It's about your righteousness, your right standing with God. Amen? So, if you have received any negative reports from the doctors, or you may have been dealing with some kind of lying symptoms in your body, right? I want you to remember the good news today, that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn, but to save the world through Him. In other words, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? And it's the good news like this that will cause your bones to be healthy. And when your bones are healthy, beloved of God, it will produce healthy blood. Healthy blood will produce strong immune system. Hey, I'm pretty good. I know some of these things, right? But it comes, amen, by the good news that is full of the Holy Spirit and the Scripture. Amen. I hope this year's Christmas message goes beyond, again, just the three magi's and the star and the angel singing, right? I mean, the gospel is such a good news if you think about what Jesus has done. And I just want to encourage you, again, this is the good news that God says, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, right? I'm here to save you. What you need is more Jesus. You don't need whatever thing that you think that you need, right, to solve your problem. It's all found in Jesus, right? So I'm not saying don't believe for for more blessings in your life, right? I'm not saying that, but I'm saying all of your blessings is found in Jesus. So if you have Jesus, you have the blessing. If you have Jesus, you have the health, you have the healing, you have everything that you need. And the Lord has become our righteousness. All right? Are you ready for the next slide? Everybody's good with this, right? What makes the good news, Pastor? Well, it has a great news that caused great joy. And what's that? God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. God loves you. Especially when you're down, He is there to love you. Amen? I like the song by Josh Groban. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. And I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Amen? That is your loving Heavenly Father. I hope you cherish the Word today, because it will be life and healing to all your flesh. Right? Pastor Henry is not here to entertain you. Right? I'm not here to be like a cheerleader to make you feel good for the next 2 hours. The words that I'm speaking unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And the word of God that proceeds out of my mouth will produce life and healing and the light in the midst of darkness that you need. This is better than any pills. Amen. It's better. Amen. This is better than any organic food that you can find. It is the word of Jesus Christ Himself, the gospel truth. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I hear a clap offering to the Lord? Hallelujah. 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 God is good all the time, and all the time God is so very, very good. So it's Christmas, right? So I have a special message, a message of no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Are you happy or are you happy? Amen. There's no choice, right? Are you happy or are you happy? I'm happy. Hallelujah. Next. So this is Isaiah 118a from the King James Version Bible. All right. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Now, why do you think that God can say, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow? The idea here is to let you know that your sins I will remember no more. In other words, it's just as if you had never sinned. Now, think with me for a while, because the Bible says, reason with me, right? Can God be soft on sin? Well, you know the scripture that says, holy, 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 right? Is the Lord God Almighty. Man, that's quite a scene. The Bible says the four living creatures, they keep on worshiping God from eternity until now. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Now, how can a holy God says that, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Amen. I know you all kind of, well, it's because of Jesus, Pastor. Absolutely. Absolutely, it's because of Jesus. But I want to have a deeper revelation today. I want you to understand how righteous He is in all His ways, to be able to say, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. It's not because God swept your sins under the rug, right? But it's because of the justice of God. Okay? So when you look at the verse like this, don't think of, well, yeah, of course, Pastor. It's because Jesus is love, right? God is He's a loving God, right? No, when it comes to languages like this that God says, the comparison is between red and white. How can, you know, a sin that is as red as scarlet be as white as snow? There has to be a payment. There has to be a payment, an exchange for your red sins and the white purity of God, God's righteousness. In other words, beloved of God, there has been a great exchange that happened. I hope you understand this revelation of the great exchange. There's no such a thing as God, you know, swept our sins under the rug. God can only reason with us on a righteous foundation of the great exchange of the red blood of Jesus for your scarlet sins. There has to be that revelation, beloved of God, that God is a righteous God. He is so righteous that He can no longer punish you for the sin that you have committed, because that punishment had been fully exacted on the body of another, who is the body of the Savior at the cross. In fact, the payment is such a lopsided payment, right? If you take all of your sins of your life, of your entire lifetime, from the day that you were born until someday you see Jesus face to face, in comparison, the weight of that sin of your entire lifetime, compare that to the single drop of the blood of the precious Lamb of God, it's an overpayment beyond comparison. Do you hear what this scripture is explaining to us? Right? The righteousness of Jesus, typified by the snow, and the depravity of our sins, typified by that red scarlet. When you put them in a scale, right? There's no comparison. The blood of Jesus is an overpayment for all your sins in your entire lifetime. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why God is a righteous, holy, just God. Amen. He cannot punish you again for the same sin that He had already punished upon the body of Jesus. Amen, beloved of God. Even the sins that you have not committed in the future, God had already took that sin and He placed it on the body of Jesus. Hallelujah. And God says, okay, now reason with me, right? Can I be unrighteous, right, by punishing you for the sins that I've already punished upon Jesus? Amen. Even in the criminal justice system, there is this law called the double jeopardy. Have you heard that law of double jeopardy? Right? The same crime cannot be punished twice. Right? And so this is the message of the cross, is to let you know that great payment, that great exchange has caused God to be saying, you know, I will never ever remember your sins, because what Jesus had done is an overpayment for all of our sins. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, I'm going to have just one more slide for you for today. This is the last one. This is Acts 13:39. Everyone who believes in Him is declared right with God, something the law of Moses could never do. Is that good news? Let me read it one more time, okay? Everyone who believes in Him is declared right with God. Wow. Just by faith, the Bible says, believing in Jesus, we are declared right with God, something the law of Moses could never do. Remember I told you the standards of God's perfection, that Mosaic law, can never give you righteousness. It can only come through Jesus Christ and what He has done. Amen. Hallelujah. So everyone who believes in Jesus is declared right with God, something the law of Moses could never do. The reference, Acts 13:39. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time, and all the time God is so very, very good. I want you to have a Selah moment. Pause. Next. See, that's the last slide, okay? All right. I hope that was a really good, simple message, very good reminders to let you know who you are in Christ. Just a Selah moment, just a... Amen? So I'm kind of summing up this Selah moment to let you know, right? This great news that caused great joy is none other than the fact that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And so, why don't you reason with me, God is saying. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, because I'm a righteous God. I cannot punish your sins again. If you put your trust in Jesus, right? I cannot punish your sins again for the sins that was already punished on your brother. Right? And now, like a climax, Acts 13:39. Right? Everybody knows John 3:16, but not a lot of Christians know Acts 13:39. Everyone who believes in Him is declared right with God. Right? So before the blessing of not perishing, you want to know this truth, right? That you are right with God. Something the law of Moses could never do. Amen? Merry Christmas, everyone. That is the good news that will cause great joy.